This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. In this beautiful, beautiful, mashallah, month of Ramadan. Today, inshallah, I want to give some insights into Laylatul Qadr. I'm sure you have listened to many, many lectures on Laylatul Qadr on the internet and otherwise. And I want to say to you that we're all Muslim and we all want to go to Jannah and we all want Laylatul Qadr. And sometimes, you know, people start panicking when it comes to Laylatul Qadr. I can assure you that you should not panic. If you're a Muslim, always put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants all the favors that we have in our lives. وَمَا مِن نِعْمَةٍ وَمَا بِكُم مِن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِن اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and all the favors which have been bestowed upon you, all the gifts that have been given to you, comes from where? Comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's the most merciful. So today, inshallah, I want to start. The end of this lecture, in fact, is the best part of the lecture. But I'm going to go through some of the issues that I want to talk to you about. And the first is إخفاء ليلة القدر ومضان التماسها. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hidden Laylatul Qadr? Why is Laylatul Qadr hidden? And why must we search for Laylatul Qadr? It's a very important question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confined the night of Laylatul Qadr in the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that it is not confined to the whole of Ramadan, it is confined to the last 10 days of Ramadan as we know. And every single person needs to find Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And the question is, some of us may have never found Laylatul Qadr in our lifetimes. We don't know what the signs are. And sometimes the signs are confusing because sometimes we live in winter and the Prophet ﷺ said there must be a warm night. And sometimes we live in summer and the Prophet ﷺ says there must be a light rain and so forth and so on. So there's a lot of messages coming to us. And I can understand an ordinary Muslim will sometimes be confused by all the messages that comes to us. And we want to know, what does it come down to for me as a simple, straightforward Muslim that wants to get the rida, the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the objective of getting Laylatul Qadr? The objective of getting Laylatul Qadr is the same objective of all the other ibadah that we do. All the other ibadah that we do, for example, whether it's salah, whether it's fasting, whatever good we do, what do we want? We want to go to Jannah. That's the ultimate. We all want to go to Jannah. And Laylatul Qadr is one of the ways in which we get to Jannah. Missing Laylatul Qadr doesn't mean we're not going to go to Jannah. There are many, many avenues to go. Today, of course, we can confine ourselves only to Laylatul Qadr. So, and likewise, just as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, via Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tells us that it will be in the last 10 days of Ramadan. We don't know which night it's going to be. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden other things from us as well. For example, we know there's an hour on the day of Jum'ah in which if you ask Allah at that time, whatever you ask Him, He will grant it to you. And that hour is also hidden. Majority of scholars say that it's after Asr, but not confirmed. Can be any time from Fajr until Maghrib on the day of Jum'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ikhfa ismillah al-a'zam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the name. If we call him by that name, إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. If you use that name in our dua, if you address Allah by that name, then that dua is immediately accepted. How many names does Allah have? 99 names. We don't know which name. Any of the names in the Asma al-Husna. Some say it's Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, from what I've read. Others say Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, and all the names. So why did Allah do this? Allah did this for one particular reason. It is to encourage us to do good and to do good. For example, on the day of Jum'ah, if you really want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, you will maybe sit the whole day and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that thing that you want. Similarly, if you want to ask Allah in a dua, you would go through all the 99 names and ask Allah by each one of them. And of course, within the 99, there is the one. If you call by it, Allah will answer your dua. So if you want anything, then these are the other two ways you can get it. Through Laylatul Qadr, through Jum'ah, day of Jum'ah, and we now know through one of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hikmah then in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hiding this night is in order for us to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taharraw Laylatul Qadri fi al-witri min al-ashr al-awakhir min Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I will read to you the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan. But that is not the only hadith. So we have come, it is not confirmed that it is in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But the Prophet also said, تَحَرَّوْ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. Prophet also said, seek Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 days, from number 20 to number 30, or from number 20 to 29. That is also a hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, it's an encouragement. It's like a treasure hunt. Don't know where the treasure is. We're asked to find it. Same with Laylatul Qadr. And what are the sifat of Laylatul Qadr? What are those things which defines Laylatul Qadr? First of all, the first is that Laylatul Qadr is the night on which Allah subhanahu, night of taqdeer and takbir. The night wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets out everything between Laylatul Qadr and the following Laylatul Qadr for the year. So this night has a very big status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in this night Allah decides who's going to die in the next year, who's going to live in this year, how much rizq you're going to make, how your wealth, everything about you. So we as Muslims are keen to know when this night is. The second characteristic of Laylatul Qadr is that the night is a blessed night. Layla Mubarakah. يُبَارِكُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا لِعَبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with his barakah. With his barakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the mercies that he bestows upon us on this night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases whatever we do, Allah multiplies it so many times over and over again. I mean, we know that it's better than 83 years of worship. So everything you do, if you say subhanallah on Laylatul Qadr night, it's as if you said as if you said the word Subhanallah for 83 years continuously. And who lives till 83 years? In other words, one night, your whole life is covered. If you get Laylatul Qadr one in that night, your whole life is covered. I'm not going to use insurance policy as an example, but it's like that. And dua is accepted on this night. And I know all of us have things to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll tell you what is the most important thing to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end. The end is a very important message that I want to give about all the ibadat that we do. I mean, we fast and we do so many, many, many things in Ramadan, except not even Laylatul Qadr, just in Ramadan. The third characteristic is that this night, as I said, is better than 1,000 months. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets out everything in this night. And it's also a night of peace. It's a night of peace, when peace descends upon the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us from Maghrib till Fajr. It doesn't start after Isha or after 12 or before. No, it starts at Maghrib. So tonight, inshallah, if tonight is the 27th night, when you sit down to eat, remind your family that this is the beginning of Laylatul Qadr. So there should be quietness. The father should make dua at the table before you eat, and maybe read you a hadith or whatever it may be, or make dhikr or whatever you do, but do something good. No, and don't put the radio loud. Put it for the adhan, put it soft for the adhan, so that you can contemplate and reflect. And I will tell you at the end what our reflections of all we should be about. Of course, there are quotations of a hadith that people use to say that Laylatul Qadr can be on any night of the year, or on any night of the month of Ramadan. No, it can only be on the last 10 days of Ramadan. Why? Because those are the indications in the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people say that it is the night of Nisfu Sha'ban, that it is on Ruwa night that Allah sets out everything. No. Why not? Because there's no hadith to that effect. That it is every night of the month of Ramadan? No. Why not? Because there's no hadith to that. We can't create things which doesn't exist. For example, the first hadith is in Bukhari, Rawal Bukhari and Aisha, reported by Aisha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Taharru Laylatul Qadri fil witri min al-ashr awakhir min Ramadan. And I've already said this, just confirming that in Bukhari, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, seek Laylatul Qadr in the last uneven days of the month, last 10 uneven days of the month of Ramadan. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, any one of the last 10 days you can search Ramadan in. And then Nabi continues, Laylatul Qadri fi tasiyat tabqa wa fi sabiatin tabqa wa fi khamisatin tabqa. Then the Nabi Sassan brings it down in this hadith to 21st night, 23rd night, 25th night. So the 27th night is not even mentioned in this particular hadith. Here the Nabi mentions, first Nabi said odd nights, which is all the odd nights, including 27th night. Here Nabi says 21st night, 23rd night, Athadith wa Ashroon, Wal Khamis wa Ashroon, and the 25th night. So we can see how this treasure is hidden. It's completely hidden in the last 10 days, in all of the last 10 days. Rawi al-Bukhari, the third hadith by Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, from Ibn Umar. This is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says, Inna rijalan min ashabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of the companions of the Prophet dreamt that Laylatul Qadr was in the last 7 days of the month of Ramadan. They dreamt. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and told the Prophet, obviously. Everyone came and told the Prophet. oh, I dreamt, you know, it was in the last 7 days of Ramadan. Another one came, I dreamt it was in the last 7 days of Ramadan. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ara ru'yakum qad tawata'at fi sabil awakhir. I see that you've all dreamt it is in the last 7 days. فَمَنْ كَانَ مُتَحَرِّيَا فَلْيَتَحَرِّهَا فِي السَّبِي الْأَوَاخِرِ Nabi Salaam said, so whoever of you wants to search for the night of Lailatul Qadr, search it in the last 7 days of the month of Ramadan. So again, it is not a definite night, but it is a night in the last 10 days of Ramadan. So I would suggest we already have, tonight is the 27th night. Remember, tonight it can be tomorrow night, 28th night. It can be the 29th night. So we have 3 nights to search for Lailatul Qadr. It can be any of these 3 nights in terms of the ahadith. Yes, the majority of ulama do say that it is in all likelihood on the 27th night of Ramadan. But we can hear the ahadith. Is spread over the last 10 days of Ramadan. My advice is, and lots of people have asked me about the question of Lailatul Qadr. They say, for example, well, tonight was Lailatul Qadr in Makkah, so they have Lailatul Qadr. We don't have Lailatul Qadr. What if it is Lailatul Qadr tonight? When the people of Makkah celebrate Lailatul Qadr, then we miss Lailatul Qadr. It could be the reverse. What if our 27th night is Lailatul Qadr? But you see, that is the point. The point is, again, it is hidden from them as Allah didn't only hide it from us and not from the people of Makkah and Madinah. No, the whole world. The whole world had to search for it. Not necessarily on the 27th night, people say, oh, 20th. No, that is where I would advise you not to search for it on the 27th night only. Search for it now that we are now already on the 27th night. Tomorrow night must be the same. Ibadat. Because we now have the 3 nights left. Other nights are gone. People wait for the 27th night. And when the 27th night is over, it's as if Eid is tomorrow. People stop going to the masjid. They stop going for Taraweeh. No, it's last night. The Quran is finished. Masjids are empty. But it can be Lailatul Qadr. That is the most important thing to understand. And of course we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down angels on this night, including Jibreel. It is the only night that Jibreel comes down. Because there's no more wahi. So it only comes down on Lailatul Qadr night. And the other thing is, it's a speciality given, it's a special event given only to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to no other Ummah except the prophets of those Ummah to receive revelation, but not to an Ummah. Here Jibreel comes down to shake our hands. And all the angels come with him. Subhanallah. Wama bikum min ni'matin famin Allah. And every ni'mah comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest ni'mah of this night. We don't know if the angel shakes our hands, but we must accept that it is, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they come to shake the hand of every Muslim. It doesn't say good Muslim or bad Muslim. Of course, obviously, we feel that if we are good Muslims, the chances are, inshallah, that the angels will come and shake us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, inshallah, that we get that great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I want to say now is, so what do we do on the night of Lailatul Qadr? I said it started Maghrib, ends at Fajr. What do we do? First of all, let's assume that tonight is Lailatul Qadr, or one of the nights of Lailatul Qadr. So we should be Maghrib where? In the masjid. Try to be in the masjid. Why? Because the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels descend that time. And where would they go first? I would suppose they would go to the masajid. You would go to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, visit the, they'll visit every Muslim house, but they'll visit the houses of Allah first. And that starts at Maghrib. And as many of the lecturers have said to us already on YouTube, lots of mashallah lectures on Laylatul Qadr, is to be busy with dhikrullah and recital of the Quran. When the Prophet asked Aisha, said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what should I do on the night of Al Qadr? Prophet ﷺ didn't say, you must do read this and read that, and you know, gave her just a 7-word dua to make, of which 3 words are the same words. 7 words? 3 words are the same words. Allahumma innaka afuun, afuun, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna. Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner. You are the one who gives pardon. لا يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. No one can forgive our sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can give us afu except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma innaka afoon. Oh Allah, thou art our pardon. You pardon us. تحب العفو. Then again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions second time the word af. تحب العفو. And oh Allah, you love to pardon. Then the word pardon. Must be a very important word. Very important. And it's not often used. We normally use the word astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive us. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfir al-azim. We make istighfar. Or we make tawbah. Here we ask Allah for afu. And then again, fa'afu anna. تحب العفو فاعف عنا. Oh Allah, pardon us. Pardon me. فاعف عني. Pardon me. So pardon, God, the one who pardons, thou loves to pardon, please pardon me. But this word is a very special word. Of all the words of forgiveness, this is the most special of all of them. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ put it in this very short dua. And what does it mean? You know, you've heard the word amnesty. People apply for amnesty. They've committed crimes, like when we had our reconciliation commission. People committed murder and whatever else, and they were given a chance to redeem themselves by saying, yes, I admit, this is what I did, this is what I did, and that will be the end of it. Your slate will be wiped clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the realm of sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives amnesty on the night of Laylatul Qadr. What is amnesty? What does it mean in terms of the sins that we commit? We're very sinful people. So I'm a very sinful man. I need afwa. All of us need it. Afwa wal afia. We need to be pardoned and we need goodness in this dunya and the akhirah. Health we need in this dunya. Goodness in the akhir. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Hasana in this world is to seek knowledge and to practice knowledge. Hasana in the akhirah is jannah. And part of the hasana in the dunya is to be a healthy person, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. So afwa is amnesty. What does amnesty mean? If you make istighfar, Allah will forgive you. But on the day of Qiyamah, those sins will still be noted in your book. It will maybe there be a line through it that Allah had forgiven you, but it will still be written. Tawbah, it will still be written there, but there will be a line through it. Otherwise, Allah is not going to ask you about it, but it will be written there. When you open your book, you'll see, oh, it's here. But when you ask for af, what are you asking for? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obliterate, to erase your sins from your book. So on the day of Qiyamah, your book of sins will be blank pages. blank pages won't be there. You will get only your book of good deeds, which will be recorded. All your book of bad deeds that you did, Allah bija'alna, ya Allah forgive us. Oh Allah, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu an. Oh Allah, pardon us by effacing our sins, so we won't be embarrassed on the day of Qiyamah. No embarrassment because. And only Allah has that power. That is the task of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is who Allah is. That is what nobody, He is the pardoner of pardoners. And nobody else can take that position from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to quote to you something that Sayyidina Ali said. And this is probably the most important part of my lecture tonight. Because you know all the rest that I've already told you, you know all that. Read Quran on this night. If you can give charity on this night, give charity on this night. If you haven't paid your zakah, then go on the net and pay your zakah tonight. Pay your fitrah tonight if you haven't paid it yet. Sadaqah, make it on the time you're sitting in front of your screen and giving zakah on the internet is ibadah. Because you're making sadaqah. You're giving zakah. And of course, it'll be multiplied thousands of times. If every cent you give tonight is like you give it over a period of, the barakah is over a period of 83 years. So what did Sayyidina Ali say? Sayyidina Ali said that the person who is devoid of the sunnah of Allah, His messenger and his friends, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom only Allah knows. So what did Sayyidina Ali says? The person who is devoid of the sunnah of Allah, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, and the sunnah of the awliya. He is devoid of everything. In other words, he's missed the boat completely. Three things. Sunnah of Allah. Now we know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran about sunnatullah. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah. We know Allah wrote on his throne, when he created the throne, he wrote it, Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. That my mercy precedes my anger. That is part of the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min al-azl, from the azl. It's not the beginning, is not a translation for the word. Because Allah has no beginning. So what is this sunnah Sayyidina Ali refers to? Sayyidina Ali says, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we must be imbibed, that we must practice, is what? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was asked. Sahaba then asked him, what is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if we don't have it, then we're devoid of everything. And he said, it is to hide the shortcomings and secrets of people. What is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To hide. I mean, I've committed so many sins. You have committed so many sins. Did Allah tell anybody? Allah knows all our secrets. Allah knows everything we did. Did Allah tell anybody? Did Allah reveal it to anybody? No. That is a sunnah. So if we want to follow the sunnah of Allah, what must we do? We must cover the shortcomings and secrets of people. Oh, everybody. Subhanallah, may Allah make us of those who can do that. That when we see something, we cover it up. If it's something bad, the shortcoming that we've seen, a sin somebody has done, and we've seen it, or we know somebody's secret, somebody told us, subhanallah, that could be our ticket to Jannah. Just that. Because following the sunnah of Allah. And what is the sunnah of the messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he replied, good manners with people. Good manners with people. Allah covers the shortcomings and the sins and the secrets of people, the Prophet ﷺ, again, with people, he practiced good manners. Prophet was always good mannered. That's why I always say, why did Allah wait for the Prophet to be 40 years old before he became a Nabi? 40 years. Imagine what he could have done in all those years. Because he had to go through a very rigid, strict regime of training. And one of the items of training was his character. He had to practice developing best character. Because the man who deals with other people with good manners is a man of character. That was what Allah taught the Prophet ﷺ. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And Allah then defines him in the Quran is, verily you, Muhammad ﷺ, he has the best of character. It took him 40 years to develop that. So what should first sunnah of Allah? The second, the all-encompassing sunnah of the Nabi ﷺ was that he was good-mannered towards all people. And if we do lose our temper with people, we should immediately apologize. Immediately we should. If we're not good, we're good-mannered with people, apologize. With people, your neighbor who's a non-Muslim, your friend who's a non-Muslim, Muslim, no distinction. Prophet treated everybody the same. The Quraysh, the idol worshippers, he treated the same. Everybody had respect for everybody. And the third, then he was asked, what is the sunnah of the pious, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he replied, to endure patiently the bad manners of other people. Subhanallah. To endure patiently. I mean, you know and I know, you come across people who are very bad mannered. And if you follow the sunnah of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what do? You suffer the ills that comes with that. You patiently persevere. And you accept, you don't fight fire with fire, no. You persevere. Okay, people have been rude to me. I will still be good mannered to them. I'll follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I will follow them the sunnah of Allah. And I will cover their shortcomings and I will cover their secrets. May Allah make us of those who will follow His sunnah, sunnatullah, sunnatul rasul, and sunnatul awliya. Very simple, but it takes strong iman and taqwa to be able to reach that status. And the last that I want to quote to you is wisdom from Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim was a great scholar. He was a student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And he had great insights into the personalities of man. What did he say? He said, إن العبد لا يعمل السيئة فيدخل بها الجنة. I want you to listen. These are words of absolute diamonds worth billions and billions of rands. And in fact, they have no value for us. The value is in the akhirah. Listen to these words. He said, إن العبد لا يعلم السيئة فيدخل بها الجنة. A servant of Allah will commit a sin, and through committing that sin, he will enter Jannah. Through that committing, listen carefully. We've heard about the sunnah of Allah, maybe the first time we hear it. We heard about the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe the first time. We heard of the sunnah of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we learn something else. And I hope it's new for me as it was for me when I read it. Then he said, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَعْمَلُ الْحَسَنَةِ فَيَدْخُلُ بِهَا النَّارِ. And then second servant of Allah, you will do something good, And through doing that good, you will enter Jahannam. Astaghfirullah. How is it that the man commits a sin and he will go to Jannah? The other man will commit, will do a hasana, a good deed, and he will go to Jahannam. And then he said, An-nasiyyah. Why? Why will the man who committed the sin go to Jannah? Because the man who committed the sin, what did he do? He always reminded himself of his sin. And whenever he thought about his sin, he made tawbah. Oh Allah, I did so and so. Oh Allah, only you know. Please forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anni. And because of his constant consciousness of his sin and his conscious tawbah from that sin, dakhala al-jannah, he enters Jannah. Because that sin has made him completely, he cries when he thinks about it. He laments when he thinks about it. He can't wait for a moment when he's alone, where he can speak to Allah and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't wait for the Qadr to sit alone. Say Allah. And count. He says, Ya Allah, this is what I did. 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 And why will the man who do good, why will he go to Jahannam? Through his good deed. Yu'ajjab biha. Because, he's impressed by his good deed. Oh, he's so impressed. People are so impressed with the good. They will tell everybody, I do this, I do that. I've been to Makkah so many times. I've been for Hajj so many times. I've helped so many people. I give so much zakah. I've done this, I have done that. ويتكبر. And he becomes haughty. He says, I'm better than you. You know, I'm this man. I get up, you know, for tahajjud every morning and I do this and I do that. And because of his ajab for himself, because of his, I'm Mr. Man, you know, I make my salah on time and I tell people I do this, you know, and I do this and I tell people I do this. Waitakabbar, and he becomes haughty. He develops kibr. And through that, he goes to Jahannam. May Allah protect us and make us aware of this. So you do good, don't tell anybody. It's enough that Allah knows. That's your secret. That's between you and Allah. Because you're doing it only for Allah. Nobody else has to know. Nobody, not your wife, not your children, nobody. There are certain things that you keep to yourself. Especially the ones that is difficult for other people to do. Many people brag about the things which is difficult for other people to do. And then they say they did this and they did that. Particularly with ibadat. So this is the most important lesson I want to give you this afternoon for Laylatul Qadr. Don't now think tonight you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And tomorrow you're going to say to, you know, you're going to tell your friend, or you're going to say, you know, last night, you know, Alhamdulillah, you know, I read half the Quran and I kept my family awake. No. Please. You must wake up tomorrow morning as you did nothing. You still bend in front of Allah. You still, what must you think about tonight? Think about your sins. If you think about your sins when you do good, you will never divulge the good that you do. You'll be too ashamed. I've done so much sin. And yet I want to speak about the little good that I'm doing. So tonight, from Maghrib to tomorrow morning, think about what you did. And I will do the same. And that is why, what is the call for tonight? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anni. Allah must wipe clean. Allah can wipe clean. Doesn't matter which friend I say to, I did this and that. It's Allah will wipe the slate, not your friend. He will also be envious of you. Oh, you know what Sheikh told me, you know what he did? Yo, I didn't do that, man. I feel so. You see, you make people feel ashamed. You make people feel small. How can your good deeds do that? Your good deeds should lighten up your inside, your iman, your taqwa. What you can do is, you can tell your brother, you know, this is what, you know, the Prophet said we must do this. The Prophet said we must do it. No, I did it. No. Say, you know, the Prophet used to get up for tahajjud. The Prophet used to, give sadaqat. The Sahaba used to do this on Laylatul Qadr night. Read Quran, you know. Don't say, oh, you know what? I made a tamat last night of the whole Quran. Laylatul Qadr night. People say this. They go to a masjid where they read the whole Quran. And then for the next month, they will tell everybody, no. Think about how much you must do to wipe out one sin that we had committed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that which should be on our mind. So when we cry tonight, we don't cry because, you know, we must cry at the door of Allah because of the sins that we have committed. Now you may think, you know, there must be people who can talk about it. Maybe they are. What about the Sahaba? When Abu Bakr came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me something. Please teach me a dua that I can make in my salah. Meaning when? At the end of the tashahud is the best time to make dua. Of course, in your sujood as well. The ulama say, what do you say? Best time is after the tashahud. So what did the Prophet say to him? Prophet said, you make the following dua, Abu Bakr. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kabira wa la yaghfiru. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indik warhamni innaka antal ghafur rahim. Abu Bakr is already in Jannah. He was promised Jannah on the dunya. Prophet said the person who will enter Jannah after me will be Abu Bakr. It's confirmed. But what was the Prophet? What was the dua the Prophet asked Abu Bakr to make in his salah? Prophet said, say, oh Allah, I've wronged myself a lot. Abu Bakr saying it. Oh Allah, what about me? What about you? Oh Allah, inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kabira. وَلَا يَخْفِرُ ذُنُوبُ. And oh Allah, no one can forgive sins except thee. Please forgive me with the forgiveness that comes from you, oh Allah. Again, it is between him and Allah. He says, oh Allah, I want you to forgive me. He didn't say forgive. He said, I want a forgiveness from you, ya Allah. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِي وَارْحَمْنِي and have mercy on me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily thou art the most merciful and the most forgiving. When I look at this, I think the Prophet said this to Abu Bakr. What about me? I would have expected him maybe in my naivety to think the Prophet would have said to him, Abu Bakr, thank Allah that you're going to Jannah. Thank Allah that you are going to Jannah, that Allah's promised you Jannah on the dunya. Cry in front of Allah, say, Allah, shukran, shukran. Jazakallah, jazakallah, jazakallah. Oh Allah, thank you. No? Why? Because sometimes that brings Shaitan steps in and brings haughtiness, kibar. Oh, I'm already saved. We are reminded constantly. Abu Bakr is here reminded by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite that Allah chose him for Jannah, he is still a human being and he still sins. Kullu ibn Adam khata'un wa khayrul khata'in at-tawwabun. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every person is a sinner and the best sinner is he who makes tawbah. And I say to you that tonight is that night of Tawbah. That night of Afu. That is what we need. And we need to imbibe the Sunnah of Allah. Cover up people's sins, cover up people's shortcomings, cover up people's secrets, and be good manner to others, and suffer the injustices that's done to you if you want to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember your sins, and don't think your good deeds that you speak about will take you to Jannah. It may take you to Jannah. So be careful. Be careful. Cultivate the heart, not the tongue. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ni'mah of experiencing Laylatul Qadr, either tonight or have already given us the night of Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 days or in the remaining nights, inshallah, that we shall seek Laylatul Qadr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reward. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us recognize that we are human beings and we all need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah should be first on our list, and then His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. May Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah give that we will be with them in Jannah. And I'll tell you something, maybe the last thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, four things is better than what you think is the best. For example, if you are in Jannah, you think this is the ultimate. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says Jannah is not the ultimate. When you are in Jannah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when you realize that this Jannah is forever, then you are really joyful. Not just being in Jannah, but realizing, because we were in the dunya. The dunya was the dunya. Many of us would want to live here forever. What did Nabi say? Once you're in Jannah, what is better than being in Jannah? Realizing that subhanallah, 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 is forever. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm just going to give you two. Maybe you should remind me to give you the other two, inshallah. The other one is Ridha Allah. When you're in Jannah, you realize, wow, Allah is pleased with me. But now we don't know. We don't know what is our status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you're in Jannah, but wow, it strikes you. Sure, Allah is actually pleased with me, subhanAllah. That's why I'm in Jannah. I'll make a note of the other two, inshallah, and we will, on the next occasion we meet, inshallah, I will repeat what I said today. Wallahu ta'ala alam, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.